Have you ever attended the Yoruba church before?
Iwe Exodus.
The book of Exodus, chapter 3, we are looking at take off your shoes, right? I wanted to actually title take off your shoes off your, put off your shoes off your feet, something like that. It's going to be too long, right? So take off your shoes. You know the story. Verse 3. Actually, read verse 3. Moses said, I'll turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that Moses had turned aside to see, God called him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And Moses answered and said, here I am. Can we read verse 5 together? And he said, draw not near, neither. Put off your shoes from off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. And so, we have laid foundations for this teaching. I believe we still have about just a few tracks to go. And we said, God is teaching Moses something, that God's presence demands a response. God is saying, if you're going to come to me, you would have to put off your shoes. Sometimes we feel we call the shots. Oh, I do anything I want to do. I'm God's child. But God is saying, nah, if you're going to come to me, you have to do something. You put off your shoes from off your feet. So we said, God's presence demands a response. We're just going to get there. Don't forget, we have not treated Exodus 3 in itself. We've just been going over it a bit, and then we'll come back to it. We'll still land on it eventually. But our main text for now is where? 1 Samuel chapter 2. I think that should have been ringing in your head. Like I said, for a few years now, probably close to a decade, it's one of the scriptures that ring in my head. 1 Samuel chapter 2. God's response to Eli. Don't forget, Eli had two sons who misbehaved. And something God sees is not just what you do. It's also what you permit. Eli's permission of his son's dishonor was also dishonorable. That's what God is saying. He said, you have honored your sons above me. It's not that Eli did not honor God. Let's read. Verse 29. Or let's start from verse 29. So God sent a prophet in verse 27 to Eli and told him history. You don't want God to start telling you history. Don't say, don't say things that you have done for me. Don't say what you have done for me. That if someone has done you good, don't say, remember I actually did this for you that time. There's a proverb that says, Tori regunaje shori. That is, so that you can say it. Sometimes that's why you do the good things. And you hear God do that often. When you were in Egypt. When you were this. When you were that. And so it means God keeps tabs. And he keeps history. And so God is telling Eli, some of the tabs he thought has closed, that when your fathers were in Egypt, I called them. I chose your father's father's father to be a priest to me. But now, your sons are doing the... So verse 29. God is talking to Eli. Why kick you against my sacrifice and my offering, which I have commanded in my habitation? Please look at the Bible. And you honor your sons above me to make yourself rich with the chiefest of all offerings of Israel. Verse 30, main text. Therefore, the Lord of God of Israel says, I said indeed that your house and the house of your father shall walk before me forever. But now the Lord says, be it far from me, for them that honor me, I will honor. And they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Very interesting. Them that honor me, I will honor. And those that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. God is the one saying this. God is saying, I'll treat you and your things the way you treat me and my things. God says, I know I have said it before that you are going to do this and it belongs to you, belongs to your children's children. But now, I've taken it back. And we can see that there's nothing set in stone. We're going to see it from a few scriptures. That God can actually take back something that actually is yours. What should be my response? To honor him. And honor is simple. I trust God that much, much later this year or very early next year, we're going to look at what honor really entails. What honor really entails. Maybe we don't get the idea of honor. But in the meantime, while we are waiting on that, honor God what you know as honor. Amen. I mean, honor is in the heart, right? So God said, I'll treat you the way you treat me. Sowing and reaping is a law from the beginning. A law of Genesis. If you sow honor and respect, you reap the same. If you sow honor and respect, you reap the same. So God says, the way you treat me is the way I'll treat you. If you don't treat me with honor, God says, I'm sorry to announce, you'll be likely esteemed. You won't be likely esteemed in the name of Jesus. Look at that same 1 Samuel chapter 16. The story is, God told Samuel to go anoint another king instead of Saul. So Saul messed up, goofed, bottled his chance. Like man you. And God says, go and anoint someone else in the house of Jesse. But over the years, reading this story, you know, one of the things that catch my attention, I'm going to tell you, especially in the leading of the Spirit, I trust God that there will be enough time to shed light on that in the coming years. While God was leading Samuel, God didn't tell him who it was. He told him who it wasn't. And there's a pattern of God's leading there. He didn't tell him, this is the person. He just told him, this is not the person. Till he got to the person. Did God know that it was David all along? Yes. Why can't he just say, he's not here? And just say, as he's on the first son, God just say, don't bother. Tell Jesse to go and bring David. Nah. God just said, it's not. And someone must have felt, I'm in the wrong compound. Maybe it's a semi-detached house. Maybe it's just the next, is the B flat. Hallelujah. Put that one somewhere. 1 Samuel 16. So God was talking to Samuel. In verse 6, he said, and it came to pass, when they were come, he looked on Eliab, and Samuel said, surely the Lord's anointed. It has to be this. Ask the anointing. I'm a little single, both spiritually and physically. And God said to Samuel, sometimes God can shock you. God said, look not at his countenance. I believe God is talking to one sister here. Amen. Just kidding. God said, look not at his countenance. That's not a leading to you. Amen. Tonight. Look not at his countenance. Nor the height of his stature. I think we should be quoting this in marriage counseling. What do you think? I add it to my archives. Pastor, I'm believing God for. Look not, 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. Look not at his countenance, nor the height of his stature. It could be both ways. Not the height. Hallelujah. See, Pastor, it cannot be him. Look not at his countenance, nor the height of his stature. Let's read on. Can we read together from there, please? Yeah, want to go? Because I have refused them. For the Lord sees not as man sees. For man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Amen. The Lord looks on the heart. Man looks at the outward. The Lord looks on the heart. That is why it's easy for God to reciprocate honor to those who honor. The Lord looks at the heart. So if we are going to become like God, I'll just digress a bit. Because I sense I should speak about this. If we're going to be more like God, we must learn to also look at the heart. And we are in interesting times in the world where there's a lot of prejudice. People judge others by status and different things. You see the educated judging the uneducated also fighting the educated. Everybody just fighting. And it's easy for people to judge others by, in fact, some even judge a group by one person. Like I said, I'm digressing. I'm going to speak about it. And we have very interesting times all over the world where we have racial issues. And in Nigeria, we have tribal issues. A believer should not be a part of that. Myself and my wife, we have a lot of time laughing at that. I'll leave it at that. Amen. I'll leave it at that. And David too. You know,
And you, if you're not careful, you find yourself where you're not walking like God. You can't judge others by one person. In fact, by 10,000 people. That sample size is not enough to judge 40 million people by 10,000 people. You can't. Amen. You say, this is how Yoruba people do. This is how Igbo people do. And so they, this is how Igbo people do. And I said, and my mind went to Broadwell. And I said, nah, that's not how they do. Amen. You would have to convince me beyond my name. Hallelujah. What a man praises shows you true character. Whatever you're praising and magnifying shows your value. And in turn, it shows what you qualify for. There are people who, they praise everything apart from God's things. They praise money. You know, we are in such a funny country. And I believe God will heal you if you are part of these people. Always arguing between two people. Ronaldo or Messi? Ronaldo or Messi? My goat is your goat. You know the funny ones? When you're asking, when you're arguing who has money more, what about you? Do you know how much Kini has? Kini's net worth cannot buy Kini's tire. What about your own life? What can buy your tire? This person's wedding. I saw this person's wedding. What about your own wedding? Auntie? What about your own? We thank God for what you had. We thank God for the ceremony. What about your own? Should we share the pictures? Kini go. Ah, my. When they know how to praise the wealthy, because the values is good money, which is not bad. You should want to have money. I mean, the proper way. Amen. Amen. A believer should not be saying words like, "I will have money anyhow in this life." What do you mean anyhow? I mean, what do you mean anyhow? Anyhow is a strong, is a strong clause to your statement, to your ambition. You can't have money anyhow. I can do any job in this world. I mean, I don't understand your context. You mean you can pack gutters and all of that, but any job? You know Asas? Molete? You don't know Asas? But you don't know Asas in Jesus' name. Amen. Some of you don't even know the Asas, but you say, for pastor, I've been praying for it. I used to go and preach in Asas. So you know what it means now. At the time, I told God that this is what my ministry will be. Asas. Assassination. No, that's what we put on the flyer. Assassination with the gospel. Whatever that means. Myself and my friend is in the U.S. now. I was reading a submission the other day, very nice submission I'll share with some of the leaders. Very, very great submission about the Jesus being the only way. Amen. Very, very nice submission. Sometimes when you go into multicultural societies, you tend to see the worldview from a different perspective. Assassination with the gospel, that's what I'm talking about. So I said I was going to preach. The prostitute was a brothel. I was going there. They beat me up many times. At some point, someone even saw me and thought, Junior. When you tell my dad, he beat me up, Junior, bad gun. Is that my boy, you know Assas? Yeah. Who else? Hey, boy, you know Assas? You heard of it. Bro, why? Don't lie. We won't say because I say good people don't go near. You know Assas, yes or no? You have stayed in front of Assas before, yes. Tony cannot know Assas. They already demolished it probably before you were born. They demolished it so many years ago. So there are people who pray, how did I get to Assas? Jesus Christ. Take me back. If you want to talk. But yeah, I don't want money anyhow. So that you don't go into Assas ministry. What do you praise? Where is your praise? Know what Jesus said in Luke 6? Luke 6 verse 45. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth what is good. An evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, brings forth what is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What you say shows what you value. Whatever you're praising and magnifying shows what you will qualify for. Don't forget, what you value is what you qualify for from God. Abi? God says, if you value me, I'll value you. Because you will not cast his spells before swine, right? We've seen that already. Right? He will not give his food to dogs. So what you praise shows what you qualify for. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So your words show if you actually honor God. To be like him, we must value what he values, and we must despise what he despises. Don't forget the statement to Eli. I'll honor those who honor me. What a statement. I'll honor those who honor me, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Strong words from a strong God. Those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Father, reveal your true value to me. I want your priorities to be my priorities. You know, there are people who are probably meant to be in church tonight, you know. And there are people who have maybe an excuse to a degree, you know. But there are some excuses that don't cut it. There are some excuses that don't cut it. And not because of anything. It's a value thing. Sometimes you know in your heart that, nah, if it was something else, I would have been there. How many of you have caught yourself in that way before? You know, and you say to yourself, I know if it was something else. If they had asked you to make it for a beach party, for those who like beach parties, I don't know if I do. If they asked you to make, okay, I don't like any party, so just rule a party for me. So what can bring me out? I'm trying to find out what can bring me out of the house, actually. Help me. Football. Sometimes I rebel you. maybe football. But I can give excuse for that one easily. I'm trying to figure out any other thing. I know you must have watching football. I do it in the house. I don't want to go where they will break my head. Nancy Pastor with plaster on Sunday morning. Because I say Saka is better than Palma. It almost happened to me when I was younger. So I promised myself that when I grow up, which I think I'm growing now, that when I'm older and I can afford it, I will never watch football outside. It's sweet. But it's deadly. So I tell myself, no, I'm just going to have it in the house. Probably call a few friends, which is what I do. Pam comes around. Bro Faith, I don't want to have him around anymore. Every time he comes, Arsenal loses. So I figured out the pattern. So chase him away. Amen. I'll try Sheyi next time. Let's see what his luck can carry. So it's a matter of values. So everybody, you know that thing. That thing that... if they had told me to come for this now, I would have gone. There are folks who, their life ambition is to... I was talking to someone the other day, and he told me, he said, one of the things on his life list was to go hiking, mountain hiking. And he had gone, he went, he traveled to Europe, he's back now. Which is a nice thing, right? Because he has the money. I was telling Brother David, can you do that? You know. So I calculated the trip for him, you know, a two-way ticket. Should cost you about 2.4. Not 2.4. Not 400 now. About 2.4 million. Then you're going to eat for the period where you're there. So let's calculate about, if you're staying 2 weeks, it's got about 650,000 to 800,000 naira. Hotel is going to cost you about 1 million. So you're going to spend about 4 to 5 million naira because you want to tick something off your bucket list. And myself and Brother David agreed that he's going to pay that money to someone who sells bread and beans to supply him every day for the next 10 years. So if your life ambition is hiking and you don't have the money and someone calls you and say, meet me right now at the consulate, meet me at the embassy, I'm going to sponsor everything, I don't think you give that same excuse of, I was tired after work. Selah. Genesis 25. So it shows where God is on your priority list. Charles Spurgeon said something. He said, church is meant to be an excuse for everything. Not everything an excuse for not coming to church. He said, church should be your excuse for not attending to some things. Not the other way around. I didn't say it. Charles Spurgeon did. Look. Let's say look. Genesis 25. Sorry. You learning something? We're in the family of God. Genesis 25. It's the story of Jacob and Esau. You know the story very well. Twin. Or twins. Like we say in Nigeria, what that means. The pair are a twin, and Esau is the first. Jacob is the second. And one day Jacob came back from hunting, and and what happened? Jacob had prepared a very nice bowl of soup, right? So the porridge there is actually soup from there. So I know something like, porridge. I know my Bible. Me too. I know small. Very nice croissant. He had his best food ready. And Esau came into the house and said, give me food. Give me soup. Verse 28. Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison. But Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sought pottage. And Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said unto Jacob, feed me, I pray, with some of that red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. The word I'm faint there means I'm about to die. I mean, I'm almost dying. Let me ask this serious question. I've thought about this many times. Would Esau have really died? Or did he die by actually eating? Deep right. I think he died. I think he was begging for death the other way. Well, let's read on. He said, I'm dying. And Jacob said, it's not bad. Have you played Monopoly before? I remember the way bro always says, if you want to come, you come to me directly. It's here. If you want to buy it, you buy it. And Jacob was doing like that too. Amen. You look like Jacob to me, actually. When I pick up Jacob, I see your physique. And I think that's a good thing. Because he ended well. Even though he's joining. So you can pick a part of Jacob's journey and you can just mix match. Because he has this Jacob thing he does with laying on events. Alright, so so Jacob said, you want pottage? That's simple. I actually have pottage. He says, yeah, I can see. He says, just a small thing I need from you. Sell me this day your birthright or your birthright. Esau said, I am at the point to die. So that's what the faint means. You get it now. What profit shall this birthright? Observe language. What profit shall this birthright do to me? Sounds like sarcasm. But some people they sarcasm their way out of God's honor. May God not whine you. Because they whine God. He said, what advantage will I get from being God's, from this God's blessing? The birthright is meant to be God's blessings. It belongs to the firstborn. The first gets a double of whatever every other person gets. That is the law. That is the law. Reuben gets a double. Every other person gets one. So if you get one, the first must get two. That was what Elisha was asking. That give me the double portion. That is, make me your firstborn. Is it making sense? Give me that inheritance that belongs to that firstborn. So Elisha got from Elijah what Jacob got from Isaac. Okay, good. All right. So the first is meant to get the blessing, the divine right to carry the name of the Lord throughout that generation. And Esau said, I don't need that. Give me pottage. That sounds funny. Asaro, you know Asaro now? Sorry, it's not Greek word. Give me the pottage. He sold the birthright for cheap. He sold God, actually, for a bowl of stew. Sold God cheap, like Judas. Verse 33. And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he swore unto him. And he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread, even added bread. you don't know what you have given to me. They don't know. He gave him bread and pottage of lentils. And he did eat, even gave him drink. And rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. That's the word. That's what Moses used. He said, he despised his birthright. You can say anything about Jacob. Cheat. Pretender. What else? Woman rapper. The guy worked for 7 years for a lady. He served. He was a servant for 7 years. They gave him another lady. He said, I'll do another seven. You don't know who you are dealing with. If you give me another person, I'll do another seven. You see this, Rachel? So that means if he met Rachel when Rachel was 21, Jacob married her when she was 35. You're not deep in it. He's a madman. Please, that's just colloquial. Because that's a mad thing to do. Seven, they gave you Leah. He said, we'll take it. He didn't reject. He said, no, you have cheated me. He said, bonus. I work on that seven. You can call him anything. He stole his father-in-law's properties and ran. That's Jacob for you. That's literally his name. God had to change his name. That's Omo. This name, you are the first person I'm seeing. God said, you are the first person I'm seeing that this name is following. Ah, Cain himself was not named Modra. You are Jacob. He took it. Before the man woke up, he took away all the properties. And he was running with his daughters. Call Jacob any name. But one thing you cannot attribute to Jacob, he doesn't play with God. One thing that you know that Jacob has is the fear of God. The honor for God kind of things. At some point, he wrestled an angel and said, if you don't bless me, you're not going anywhere. I know what God's blessing means. That's what he's saying. Jacob is saying, when God bless someone, I know what it means. See, if you like, the angel said, it's almost morning. Jacob said, yeah. Some that my plan actually that will go 3 days. The plan from the beginning is that this thing goes 3 days. We are just in day one. It's not even morning yet. The angel said, it's almost morning. Jacob said, bless me, then go. Is it not simple? Angel, all you have to just say is, God bless you. And he got it. He got it. That's one thing you can attribute to Jacob. You can't say Jacob despised God at any time. He treated God as special. And there are people like that who probably have a lot of things to them. You know, you can say this about them. You can say that about them. Some of them are not even believers. But when it comes to God, they don't joke. I had someone like that on campus. This guy, your typical bad guys. You know, the people, Sister E, will probably call bad guy. That guy's a bad guy. But this guy, every time he sees me, say, Pastor, I mean on campus, Pastor, yeah, pray for me. Why should I pray for you? And I saw the pattern. Every time he sees me, he will bring out something. Say, just take this, pray for me. Yeah, I'll take it because I was hungry that time. If you see my neck, you say, take it. So I'll take it and say, I don't know what to say. I said, God bless you yesterday. I said, God will honor you today. Because maybe God bless you. Maybe you are getting. He said, no, you can say, God bless you again. And he did that consistently. And you see some Christians. Say, you're a pastor and so what? Man for pastor, let no. Jesus, what happened to Jesus? Don't go bring Jesus, come here. And this, don't involve Jesus in this. This is not about Jesus. That's not even using Jesus. Calm. What a man praises, the words of a man shows what he values. If you can speak like that about Jesus and just dismiss it, maybe you should check your heart. Because God looks at the heart. Are you listening to me? Observe how Moses wrote it in verse 34. He despised his birthright. That's the word, his birthright. That means he belongs. You're looking at taking off your shoes, right? Are you taking it off already? Take it off. The ground where you stay, the place where you are standing, is God's holy ground. See him as he is, and he will honor you. He will lift you up. He will bless you. Amen. Hebrews 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, or our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. He didn't despise the cross. He despised the shame. Amen? And he sat down at the right hand of God, or at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be also wearied and faint in your minds. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Can we read verse 5 together? And you have forgotten
the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when you are rebuked of it. So the writer of Hebrews gives us something to honor. God's correction. He says, despise not the chastening of the Lord. Don't despise the correction of God. See, the journey of faith of a Christian is to bring you to perfection. Paul will call it to the church in Ephesus. He says, to the full measure of the stature of Christ. Remember? Ephesians 4. How many of us here are perfect? Let me see your hands. Your conduct, your character, everything. In fact, you are Jesus right now. If you die for sins, people will be redeemed. Anyone? Anyone? No one! All of you are not holy. Eh? So we all are not perfect, including myself. My hands are not up. What that means, listen to me, is that we all need to be corrected. What brings spiritual growth is correction. So if you are not perfect, if you cannot say today that Christ is fully formed in you, I'm not talking about our salvation. I don't understand what you're saying. I'm saying right now in conduct and all, then you need to be corrected. I say, I love my children so much, I can't correct them. To correct them. Okay. Amen. One day, you will come around. I remember there used to be one woman when I was growing up. How did they correct the children? They stayed opposite, then 1, 2, 3. Yeah. How did they correct the children? There's nothing those children can say to you. The mother will be laughing. Hey, they are kids. Me, I corrected them for hours sometimes. Amen. By the glory of God. God using me. And then every time someone teaches them the right things in my own way, whatever way you are thinking in your mind, I did correct them. I was right to correct them that way. She would flare up. Why will you tell my son to pick up what he dropped? It's not that you are older than me. What I would have told you, man. What he dropped, he should pick it. Your son bites someone. And I said the guy should bite his own back. I will honor those who honor me. I will bite those who bite me. You say, why would I ask the other child to bite? Father, I held the son. I was younger too. Amen. Two legs like this, two hands like this, bite your own back. I even told where to bite. Bite your own back. Your son, I went to report you. And I said, what I've just done is to help that other child dress it up. I will dress both of them. Gradually, the son started disrespecting her. When they heard, mommy, that's a stupid thing to do. And my hands were itching me. But I said, nah. She's reaping. If you sow, you will reap. Is the law of life. Whatever you sow, you will reap. And oftentimes, you reap more than you sow. Amen. So I disrespecting her. I said, Baba mi bawi. When we were telling you, only come Boshami, not just Yoshi Fari. I'm not speaking Greek. Oh. They said the monkey should say amen that day. He said, what's going on here? If you have listened to the business, I obey, you know what I'm talking about. Your son will disrespect you, disrespect the teachers, the coach, the police, everybody. The boy, till today, the last I checked, he might have been born again. Amen. Which I pray. Amen. But the last time I saw it on Facebook, maybe 2017, Eonno. Eonno is not a Greek word. Eonno is a stupid. What? Eonno is not even stupid. Stupid is less to Eonno. Eonno is what? Please. A rogue. A thug. He has grown to be bad. Correction puts us on the right way. The writer of Hebrews says, my son, despise not the correction of the Lord. Because those who despise it shall be lightly esteemed. Are you with me? You learning something? Despise not the correction of the Lord. I say, okay, pastor, I get it. But correction should be subtle. Correction should be gentle. Like, correct me in love. That's what the Bible says. I hear you. Amen. I hear you. Abi, you think I don't hear you? I hear you. Correction should be gentle. But not all correction. There are corrections that are too urgent to be gentle. If you see your child, of a 2-year-old,
or a 1 year old walking towards fire and you are far away, how would you talk? Junior, don't go near. Come on. Come to mommy. You're an idiot. You will know that there's this correction that is not love. Get out! Whether the child has said get out before, every human being will know what urgency sounds like. Are you listening to me? You don't see someone walking off a cliff and you say, come on, don't do that. You see, it's a cliff. When you walk, no, you run and you bundle them away, right? You bundle them away. You don't say, I want to correct you in love. No! If I say, you must be corrected. If I say, I'm too local. If I say means, what's if I say? I clear you. I elevate you. Because what you are doing needs urgency. So it's not every correction that is gentle. Are you listening to me? Sometimes God corrects us in the most urgent ways. With the most emergency kind of voice. Don't despise it. Imagine you're driving. I recall the other day, myself, Broshola, my wife, we're traveling. We're traveling from the east. Was it Owerri? Owerri. And I had a driver. Oh my God. They were all asleep. I'm casting them here. They were asleep, which is actually we left over very early. But I was just somewhere looking at the driver. I saw the guy. The guy was buying everything, so I knew that something will happen to this guy. You see, what's opa? That pronounce it well. You buy banana. You buy. We just left already. You stop at us about to eat rice. The rice that someone not finish. You finished it. Finished it. Every junction, everywhere police stop you, you buy something. How much do you have really? And he was buying everything, so I knew that. Oh, more prospandia. There is no way you not feel sleepy. So I kept my eyes. Today is not the day I'm dying. He was about to run us into a trailer. He was sleeping. Some of those drivers, that's what they do. They not play music. You not think they are awake. All those big buses, they play music. So I drive our week. Hero is gone. And that's why if you're driving, to be careful. Some of those truck drivers are drunk. Some are sleeping. So that's why when I'm beside them, I blow my horn. You must hear it by God's grace. Amen. So as I saw that he was sleeping, I shouted, are you mad? Sorry, that was what was in my heart. That was the first time. Are you mad? Get up! What did I say should do? Eh? I said pack. Remember now? I said sleep if you want to sleep now. See, this is when I'm not rushing back to Lagos. Sleep. I gave him 30 minutes to 1 hour to sleep on the road. Just sleep. Sleep in the car. I will buy you water. Pour everything. Sleep. He said, no, I'm ready to go. But the way I corrected him, you don't want me to shout at you like that. But that moment is not the time I say, driver, come on, that's a trailer. Gone. That's a tray. You say tray on earth, you say la somewhere else. It requires haste. So next time, put it in your mind, not every correction is gentle. And you don't determine how you are corrected. Just take the correction and grow. Amen. If you grow, you wouldn't need to be corrected, whether gently or harshly, next time, because you have outgrown that. Learn something. So teach your heart to receive correction without malice. See, Jesus, when he spoke to Peter walking on water, Peter said, if it is you, the Lord, tell me to come. Bid me to come on the waters. And Jesus said, it is I, Bia, Wazobia, come. And Peter was walking on water. Yeah. Oh! And he said, glory! Glory! I'm walking on water. And suddenly, he began to sing. And Jesus did not say, you even try. Only two of you have done it on the earth, me and you. He just said, oh, you have little faith. Get up. Is that a gentle correction? I said, why can't you just pat him and say, no, my son, you just walk in water. I love you. No. Urgent growth needs urgent correction. Of course, there are corrections that are subtle. God corrected Peter. Acts 10, he saw the ladder going up, and Peter, he said, "Nah, I will not eat anything unclean." And God said, "Nah, don't call what I've called clean unclean. That's just a gentle correction." You didn't see God shouting, you didn't see God threatening him. Just said, "Don't call what I've called clean unclean. Now go kill and eat." That's subtle. But the same God said, "Peter, little child, little faith. What are you doing there?" At some point, they wanted to heal a child who was possessed of the demon. Who was often thrown in fire, thrown in the water, different kinds of manifestations. That's bipolar. So they could not describe how the demon was manifesting. Sometimes manifestances, some manifestances. And the disciples could not heal him. And they brought him to Jesus and he just said, "Oh, you of little faith, how long will I be with you?" Imagine saying that in front of someone you were ministering to. In front of your disciple. That sees you as word. And your pastor just said, "Since all these days, you can actually not teach this part. I don't like what you're doing. Such a shame." Somebody suffer my didaskalia, didaskolo, didaskalabaya, didaskabugwe. That's what Jesus did. He said, "Oh, you have little faith. How long shall I be with you?" The corrections are not gentle. You don't despise anyone. Are you with me? That's where you take off your shoes. This is holy ground. I receive your correction with humility in my heart, and I grow in righteousness. He says, "My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. Teach your heart to receive corrections without malice." Don't despise it. The writer of Hebrews will now proceed further in that Hebrews 12. Are you there? Verse 15. Now, he says, looking diligently, lest any man fall off the grace of God, or lest any root of bitterness springing up in you, that thereby many be defiled. He says, when you despise the chastening of the Lord, this is what we see. We see fall from the grace. We see the root of deep bitterness. How many people have been corrected in God's church and they start becoming bitter? These are holding things in. You now have a favorite person you like. I say, "Pastor, let this person correct me, not this person." I think that's stupid. To choose who to correct you. If you were that grown, you won't need the correction. Amen. I'm telling you this how to do it. Why did you do this? Why are you working with this kind of person? Why will he talk to me like, "I have my choices"? Amen. "I have my choices. I'm a full grown adult." Why? Because you clock 26. Adult. Grandma Binuma. Grandma. Grandma is stupid, man. Actually, that's what the Bible says. When you don't follow God's word, it says, "Oh, foolish." I mean, what did you just say? "Oh, foolish and slow of heart." Slow of heart is the daring. "Oh, foolish and slow of heart." Because you are not seeing what the word sees. You don't choose how you correct it. Why allowing bitterness to come from the chastening of the Lord? Don't forget where you're coming from. If you despise his chastening, what will happen to those who do it? They're not here. What happens to those who do? They'll be lightly esteemed. You won't be lightly esteemed. God told you, he said, "I will make them base in all the earth." That is, they will be the least of the people. God looked at Esau and said, "That birthright that is yours is now Jacob's." Look at verse 17, verse 16. "Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. And God said, "It's no longer his. For you know that afterward he would have inherited the blessing. He was rejected." He would have rejected it, but he was rejected. "For he found no place of repentance, even though he sought it carefully with tears." Don't despise God's correction. Respect is godly. Disrespect is ungodly. Keep it simple. How close? Okay. How close? Psalm 106. It's still up now. Psalm 106. Are you learning something, please? Again, we're looking at take off your shoes, right? Yeah? God's call to honor and value. Or responding to God. It was here we had the teaching like that. Our response to godliness. You remember? Papa, are you there? You're not. Our response to godliness was a camp meeting. It's not recorded. I think it was the first camp meeting. 1 Timothy 3. This is the great mystery of godliness.
bring back memories. I think I'll reteach it. Don't worry. I see. Hey, these are one of my favorites. Our response to godliness. Oh, beautiful teaching. All right. Psalm 106. So we're looking at taking off your shoes. Amen. Let's wear our shoes so that you can easily take it off.
Just kidding. You know? On Sunday, man will have shoes at church.
Psalm 106. Don't go and bring on Crocs. So I want to take off my shoes. Psalm 106 and verse 24. Psalm verse 23. Therefore he said, he would destroy them. Had not Moses his chosen stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them. Yea, they despised the pleasant land. They believed not his word. They murmured in their tent and acted not unto the voice of the Lord. See what the psalmist says. He says, God was going to destroy them. Of course, God did not. They destroyed themselves. Eventually. God was going to, he said, why? He said, Moses has to stand and say, God, I beg. Remember when you called me? Burning bush. I took off my shoes. These are the people I took my shoes for. He said, God said, why? Because they murmured in their tents. They despised the promised land. Because it's the pleasant land. They despised it. Let me say something. When God called Abraham to that land, Abraham said, the land is good. Isaac said, the land is good. Jacob said, the land is good. These children of Israel, they despised it. When they brought the report, you know what they said? They said, that land will chew you and spew you out. See that land? Some people will say it's good, though. We are not arguing with them, oh. But we saw giants. We saw giants. Giants. That land is nothing to be toyed with. It's not the Lord's land. So I ask the question, and I ask myself in my heart, if Abraham said this, and Jacob said this, and Isaac said this, and God said this, and then the spies said this, and Israel at large, as a congregation, said this, is the land good or bad? The land did not change. The only thing that is different is how people valued it. Oh Lord, I see what you call as good, as good. He said the land will chew you up. It will spew you out. But it's a lie. Because the next generation got to that land. Pray for me as I close. The next generation got to that land, that same land. But they didn't enter it because they despised it. Verse 24, they despise the pleasant land. They believe not his word. So is he a good land or a bad land? Is he a good church or a bad church? Is he a good spouse or a bad spouse? They despise what God gave them. And even though God gave them, he took it away. Because like he told Eli, I will honor those who honor me. And I'll despise those who despise me. They'll be despised. They'll be likely extinct. It is their land. It is Eli's priesthood. It is Esau's birthright. But it's not set in stone. God says, no, if you don't value it, I'll take it away. Because I will not cast my pearls before swine. I'll not give that which is holy unto dogs. So good church or bad church? You see people, so when they join the church, I just love this. I remember there was a particular person, when the person joined church that year, I said, listen to so teachings. Like this. Okay, sir. I get two teachings per week. This person listens to like eight. And I said, listen, thorough notes. After some years, I noticed some attitude. So I took the person back to the beginning. Remember when you joined? You were listening to sermons like your life depended on it. So, but now, looks like your life depends on something else. The person started crying. That's what God asked me to tell you. The land that used to be pleasant suddenly is now bad. The spouse that used to be good, nothing changed. You just don't value it anymore. Good land or bad land? It happens in marriages. Good land or bad land? The one you told, you see, it's me and you against the world, whatever that means. I don't want to be against the word. Familiar.
against the world. Why? God sent you to the world. Which one is we are against the world? It's me and you. You are my better quarter. You are my Larry. And Elijah. You know what Elijah is? They don't sell kerosene again. You buy kerosene, say, Mufera Elijah. So they have this bottle, very crest bottle. Smaller than how many of you know crest? Not that you now saw it at home, you saw the bottle under the bed. You drank crest. Amen. And Tropica. You know Tropica? The same spouse where you've promised each other the world to stick, suddenly you start feeling value. Value. Look where we say it from. Man looks at the outward. God looks at the value of your heart. Value. If there's no honor there, it won't receive honor from God. You know what Paul said? He said, God cannot be mocked. One day I will have time to explain that to you. Paul finished up, he finished up Israel in that statement. That statement is a story of ages. Even though he was talking about the priest and responding, he said, God cannot be mocked. That statement runs across the entire scriptures. Whatever a man sows, he will reap. If he sows honor, he will reap honor. If he sows dishonor, he will be lightly esteemed. Where is your honor for the things of God? Or like our spotlight went on today, where is your honor for corrections? Corrections necessarily does not have to be personal. Doesn't mean the pastor has to come to you or yourself, pastor, or whatever comes to you. No. Sometimes in listening to God's word, you must learn to take the corrections in there. Don't say it's not talking about me. Don't put it aside. Learn to take God's correction and say, you know what? I see it. And never say one correction is too harsh. And I told you, and I explained to you very well, not every correction is gentle. Some corrections demand urgent and a loud voice. You don't see your 1-year-old walking into fire and you say, hey baby, and you can't run there. You run there and then you snatch them, right? That's what you do. You see someone walking off with a blindfold and is walking off a cliff. That's all the time you tell them, turn right, turn left. No, you run there and you pull their clothes back. And you don't care whether they are going to fall, right? Right? You don't care whether they're going to fall. Because I'd rather have you injured here than die. Not every chastening is precious. Some are rough. Exactly how God made them to be. And Paul is telling you, or the writer of Hebrews, despise not the chastening of the Lord. Don't despise it. Don't despise it. Take it. I believe God is talking to you and to your heart tonight. Values. Don't despise it. Don't despise what God is saying. Good land or bad land? Depends on how you see it. Depends on how you see the word of the Lord. The psalmist calls it, he says, they despise the pleasant land because they believed not his word. They didn't value his word. That's why they despised it. They didn't value his word. What does God's word mean to you? What does it mean? I know we are Christians and we are Bible believers. That's what we use here. That's the word. Well, what does God's word mean to you? What does the church mean to you? Is it just another gathering? We just come in every week and then we just sit down and then we cry holy, holy and we go home. I can actually find excuse for that. Or you see it more than that. You see that as a time of correction. As a time to hear God's voice again. Freshen up your spirit again. Revitalize your purpose. And walk in His light. Even as He is in the light. Is that how you see it? Is you see it as another seed sown in you for the greater good and a greater future? Do you see it as God orchestrating your path and guiding your legs to where you should go? Do you see it as you mounting on eagle's wings? That's how you ought to see every encounter with the word. It's not just a social gathering. You can find an excuse for that. They despise the land. They didn't even know. But God is saying, the moment you don't believe the word, it's a bad land for you. Esau, I'm about to die. I don't need a birthright. What will this birthright do? I don't need it. How many Christians have used sarcasm to walk in the flesh? What will prayer do for me? I say, give me money. Does that sound familiar?
What do I want to do with the Jews? I beg. Ah. I say, person say, make a call them money. You say, church, get service. You know, here, which I talk money.
God told Eli, I have said, your family will walk before me all the days of their lives. But I take it back. Because those who honor me, I will honor. And those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed.
Let's pray for ourselves tonight. Pray for yourself. Whether you want to sit, you want to stand, you want to kneel, you want to do anything. Help me to see your heart, Lord. And to be after your heart. To see your priorities and make them mine. To not live in bitterness while receiving corrections. I will not despise the chastening of the Lord. But for the joy, like Jesus, for the joy set before me, I will endure the cross and despise the shame. Hebrews 12, verse 2. I just trust you're praying for yourself. I don't know how else to help you do that. I will end up like Esau. Or like Eli. I won't sell you for cheap. Or like Judas. I worship you. Because you should be worshipped. I praise you. You are worthy of my praise. I honor you. Because you should be honored. You should be honored. You praying for yourself.
My heart will not be corrupted by strange values. Help me, Lord, from strange appetites like Esau's. Strange appetites that I won't trade you for what can be destroyed. To receive your correction with meekness. And walk in your light, even as you are in the light. I will not despise the chastening of the Lord. I won't insist on my own way. I won't walk off the cliff. I always draw the voice of correction nearer. And I won't walk away from help. I won't walk away from help. I remain sane in my values. Help me, Lord Jesus. There's no one you can't help. Help me, Lord Jesus. Help my heart to give you first place. It's a busy world, but you are all that matters. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.